chapter 9. Go there. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to do a series. It'll be today, tonight, and next Sunday on Father's Day. We'll finish up a series called Mephibosheth. Now you should never forget the name of this message, Mephibosheth. Now you might say it wrong or spell it wrong, but you won't forget it. Amen? You can't really identify with people who are going through some things unless you've been through them yourself. There's sometimes you can be empathetic. You can empathize with them. You can pray with them. But if you've never been through it, you can never really understand it. The good thing about Mephibosheth is we can all understand what he's going through because we're going through this same thing. We're either Mephibosheth who's been found by a king and shepherd, or we're a Mephibosheth who's stuck in Lodabar and don't know the king and shepherd. Lodabar is a place with no pasture. Got that? A place with no pasture. Have I gave you enough time to get to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1? And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" It's been a while since Jonathan and Saul died. It's been a while since David became king. He's looking throughout, and he remembered he made a covenant. The king shepherd made a covenant with Jonathan, and he's remembering it. There's a very basic thing here, and I want you to get a hold of this. Very basic, very common thing, not a spiritual thing. If you say you're going to do good and you're a Christian, do the good that you say you're going to do. And even if it's late. Late is better than never. Amen? So if you've promised somebody to do something as a Christian, follow through by doing it. Even if it's late. Even if you forgot, when God brings it to your attention, seek out to do the good. Listen, as a Christian, we should always seek to do good. Even if it's harmful, or even if it doesn't have the results that we think it should have. Is that okay? Has any Christians in here done some stuff, doing some good, and it kind of backfire on you? It didn't have the result that you wanted. Amen, preacher, yes. It didn't have, you were talked about, or you had an ulterior motive why you done it. But if you done it out of your own heart, and you done it for the right reason, you done it because you're a child of God, keep doing it. Because eventually you'll be effective. Amen? Eventually you'll help the right person. You'll minister to the right person. You'll do the right thing. And all the other stuff will not matter. Amen? So that's a very simplistic takeaway. But it's not simple. It's very good, right? But I love this. And there was one of the house of Saul, verse 2, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "The servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto them, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." One son that's lame on his feet. Amen? One. Ain't that cool? Think about this. King Saul had many wives, many concubines, many children, but yet he would not follow God with his heart, and yet he only had one grandson left. One. I should tell you, when you go after your own plan and your own desire, when God becomes small and you be big and you become big, guess what? The devil will consume all the great things in your life. He will consume all the good and great things out of your life. And the main thing is your heritage. Not a lot of people talk about this today, but the greatest thing that you can have as a man or a woman is a heritage. That means children and grandchildren. This world, we are here to bring up children, to honor God, to glorify God. That's what we're here to do. Amen? I love this. There wasn't a whole lot left, and King David is looking to help somebody that he should not be looking to help. Ain't that amazing? There's a type and shadow of Jesus here. He's looking to help somebody that he shouldn't be looking to help. It don't mean much to us, but in this time, if you're talking about Mephibosheth, you're talking about a king, a child who was an heir to the kingdom. That means rightfully he had rights to the throne that David sat on. Amen. Are you okay? He had rights to say, I have a king's lineage. I should be the king. So David is looking to a man who has a lineage or a heritage in him that wars against his kingdom or his heritage. Let me break it down this way if you don't understand. Listen, we were born children of Adam. We have a lineage and heritage that wars against God and his kingdom and his heritage. Amen? Our human nature is against God, and there is no good reason why a king shepherd, king of kings, lord of lords, the shepherd would look for us. Because saving us doesn't make sense. Rescuing us don't make sense. Because inside of us is a nature that wars against the king. Amen? I don't know about you, but everybody in here should say this. We have a nature, even though we're born again, it wars against what God wants us to do. But He saved us anyway. He knew exactly who we were, and He saved us anyway. Anybody glad of that? Is anybody in here, thank God, that He knew who you were, He knew where you were, and He saved you anyway? Can I tell you a little bit about Mephibosheth when he was five? When he was five, the news rang out that King Saul and King Jonathan were dead, and they were going to kill the whole lineage of Saul. And they did. But his nursemaid picks him up at five and begins to run with him. And when she ran with him, she fell and caused him to be lame in his feet. He can't walk or run. I've been there, amen? I was there before I met Christ. I could not walk and I could not run. I had no goings without God. I was lame. Write that down. You were lame. Amen? That's an old term. Some of you, if you recognize that, you're probably older than me. Amen? Because used to be the thing is, well, I tell you, if you weren't cool, you were lame. Amen? All right, listen, he was lame on his feet. He could not do anything. He had nobody to take him. He was a fallen king. That's everyone in this room. We are broken. We are without strength, without Christ. We are fallen kings. We are fallen because of what Adam done in the garden. We are fallen because of the sin nature that is in us. We are fallen because we love sin more than we love God before we get saved. And there we are, the shepherd. You got to see this. This thing's hung in my craw about the shepherd for the last 3 or 4 days. It just won't go anywhere. There's a shepherd there looking for a sheep who doesn't want to be found. Or doesn't even know that there is a shepherd looking for him. Can you write that down, somebody? Right, there's a shepherd looking for you, and you didn't even know that there was a shepherd, and you didn't even know that he was looking for you. But he was, wasn't he? Remember, the Bible says he left the 99 and went after the one? The one was so isolated. The one was so alone, right? That is what the devil, that is his main game, amen? He is a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That is the devil's game. He is wanting to get you separated from your family, from your church, from your God. He wants to get you all alone and have you isolated. Because right after isolation comes destruction. That's what happens. Unless the shepherd comes. If the shepherd comes, then destruction doesn't get met. Life begins. Amen? I want to keep reading here because I want to show you something. In verse 4, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emil, in Lodabar." Lodabar, underline that. That means no pasture. That means no substance. No feeding. No, he is not being fed. He is not being supplied with the nutrients that he needs in his life. Guess why? Because he doesn't have a shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me to green pastures," right? You know what that's for? He's going to feed your soul. Before we meet Jesus, we try to feed our soul with things that are temporary. I tried to feed my soul with temporary stuff, right? The job, the woman, the car, pornography, adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, what, drugs, alcohol, whatever you can fill this man, this void that's missing. But what is missing is a shepherd. What is missing is good food for the soul. What's missing is God has not shined His light into your life. He has not come into your darkness and shed His marvelous light into your life yet. You're isolated. I remember as a kid, I love watching. One of my favorite animal, no doubt about it, is a lion. It is. I love watching lions. I like watching lions kill stuff, just to be honest. I know, it's kind of weird, but I'm a guy. Some of you men could have backed me up, but that's okay. Sit there with your little, you know, whatever, man bag and do your own thing. That's all right. I'm a man. I love it when the lion is on the stalk and he's running and he's chasing and he's tripping up. But one of my favorite ones, y'all probably heard me say this, is there was a little calf, one of those little wildebeests. It hadn't been born long. And it showed it going along with the herd. Amen. We're the herd. The church is the herd. God's family, we're herd. We got all kinds in the herd, but we're herd nonetheless. Oh, never mind. I'd preach on the herd, but y'all get mad at me if I preach on the herd because, hey, some people in the herd, it's, you know, you don't know why they're there, but they're there. Amen. But this little one, it kept running out, and it kept running out, and its mom would, you know, it'd give him the horn, everyone would push him back in and push him back in. And it's always amazing that the young ones always want to get out from the protection of the older ones, and they think they know, but if they would have looked, my God, if they would have looked at some of the wildebeest on their back parts or on their shoulders, there would be some scars. Any adults in here got some scars? Don't get too far away. Why, Mama? Why, Daddy? Don't get too far out there. That devil is a roaring lion. How do you know? Because I got out there. I mean, you might not believe me. You might think I'm old school. You might think I'm old fashioned. You might think that I'm a coward. You might think that I'm weak because now I'm under the hand of God. You might think that I come in here and I bow down to God and I put myself under self-control of God and you can't see that I have a life, but my life is hid in Christ Jesus. And you think that these people are living this life. They have a life, but look at my scar. This is what the devil did to me because I chose to walk outside of the protection of God and the church, amen, and His family. The little wildebeest kept wandering out, and then Mama would wear it out and wear it out. By that time, they got near a mud hole that was really, really deep. And see, wildebeests are top heavy. And it got to playing around the mud, and it got so deep out that it got sunk down, and the mom couldn't get to the young one and pull it out. You know, you can get in places. Some of y'all better help me preach. Listen, there are some places, young people, that you can get into that your mama and daddy cannot get you out because you are stuck in too deep. They want to get you out. They'll try to get you out, but they are not capable of getting you out. The devil is a worthy adversary. He gets you into places. He traps you in traps that only he knows. He knows that you can't physically get out, and nobody else can get you out except for God. Some of y'all are probably sitting in this room right now dealing with some situations about some loved ones or maybe even yourself, how you're going to get out of this trap, and you're wanting everybody else to get you out, but nobody can get you out, but you've never cried out to the shepherd, which is Jesus. Amen. So in this story, the little wildebeest is in the mud up to its chest. And here comes a lion. And the lion, what's crazy about it is the male lion, he's walking down through there. He's just got through eating. He should be satisfied. Amen? And what I take from that is the devil should be satisfied. He's stolen and killed and destroyed so many lives. He probably just got through destroying somebody else's life. And all of a sudden, he sees one buried up and he's full. But that's not how the devil works. He works like a lion. He's a killing machine. It's instinct. He sees it, and guess what he does? Now listen, I'm preaching. He walks out on the mud because the cat, its weight is more dispersed because of its hands and or its paws. They're wider. Let me put it this way. The devil can walk through muck and mire and junk. It's who he is. That he set the trap. He can walk through it. Amen? He's used to walking through lies and deceit and drunkenness and murder. He can walk through it and he don't sink down in it because it's who he is. But you don't belong there. The little animal's screaming out, and the mother and the father's looking on. He walks over there and just snatches his life right away. It's over. Now, to me, I'm like watching the show. I'm like, man, that's awesome. Amen? But in a biblical sense, I'm thinking, that's who we are. We think we're so tough. We think we're so cool. We think we're so smart. But when it comes right down to it, we're just like that baby animal that we've sunk down. And we got no strength against the enemy except for the shepherd. See, I see Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodabar, and he has nothing. You ever been to the place where you got nothing? Well, keep living with the devil. You'll find it. Amen? You'll find it. I mean, you'll run right into it. You can't help it. You won't even need directions. You'll run right into it. He's down there in Lodabar, and he's crippled. He's lame. He's got no strength. And all of a sudden, word comes to him that the shepherd wants to see him. I got a visual. I got a mind that runs fast. I see stuff like in movie form. Just bear with me. Remember when you got saved? One, two. Two, all right. Two people, all right. So you remember when you got saved? Six, all right. Remember when you got saved? Woo, ain't that sounding better? Boy, hey, wait a minute. Flat Top Church just shouted. Let's go home. Let's go. Get up, let's get out of here. All right. Where was I going with that? Oh, I see it in movie form. He's the shepherd. I see it in a movie form. All of a sudden, do you remember when you got saved and all of a sudden the shepherd appeared? Kind of like this. I just kind of like when you wake up, right? And maybe your mom's standing in your room or your dad and they're telling you something to do and you're like, what? Huh? Clean up what? What? Put what away? What? I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do that, right? Right? Is that good? Somebody's there, but you're not. They weren't there before. They were in your presence. That's how the shepherd arrives on the scene in your spiritual life. All of a sudden, there's a shepherd there who wasn't there before. I mean, everybody gave up on Mephibosheth. He's lame. He's got no food. He's not got nothing going for him. But the king calls for him, and all of a sudden now, a shepherd ends up in his life. He's kind of clearing his eyes. He's like, me? Me? Lame me? Broken me? Me that don't deserve anything? Me whose mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, all passed? They're all, there's a lineage of destruction in my family. Preach! Me? You want to be my shepherd? You want to be my leader? You want to show up in my life? Yes. Bring him on up. Bring him on up. Ain't that cool? This thing's been hung in my... If I had a craw, it'd be hung in my craw. It's a chicken terminology. Get it? Somebody says, how do you know when you've been saved? How do you know when you've been changed? I know exactly how I've been changed. I know when I've been saved because of one thing and one thing only. The shepherd is more important than anything else in my life. Period. You've never been saved if the shepherd is not important.
Amen.
See, the shepherd knows you and you know him. See, the shepherd does some things. I'm going to go ahead and make this a little faster. Mephibosheth gets pulled up to the kingdom and he says, why do you let such a dog as me come and grace your presence? You ever said that to God? I have. Why do you let somebody like me, who is filthy and wretched and lame, be in your presence? God, what could you possibly want to get out of this? And the word is glory. But he wants to be your shepherd. So he sets him at his table. He tells him, you got a kingdom, you've got land, you've got fruits, you've got figs, you've got everything you're going to need. Ziba's like, all right, we made it. And Mephibosheth's like, yes, I'm here. And guess what David says? David says, but you will never, ever touch it. Oh, gosh. I'm going to give you all this stuff, but you'll never touch it. Ziba, you'll touch it. Mephibosheth, you'll sit at my table. And you'll never work for anything. I don't know about you, but that's cool. Amen? You got promoted. I mean, you got saved. You've got all kinds of benefits. But the first thing he says, my saving you is because of me, not because of you. Not because of what you're doing, it's because of what I'm doing. I'm doing something good because I'm a covenant God, and you're not going to have to work for it. I'm going to give it to you. Man, when you find out that God's give it to you, you'll work like crazy. When you got something like that and you got it for free when you didn't deserve it, you can't help but work. But the shepherd becomes everything. I want you to hear this, and I want this to make it clear in your heart and mind before you leave here, because I'm a black and white person. I'm an up or down, in or out type person. Amen? I'm not gonna mince words with you this morning. I want to make a challenge to you. I want to lay this out clearly, and we're going to close right here. If Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is not everything to you, you need to ask Him to save your soul and let Him be everything to you. And you say, what are you talking about? David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, what he was saying is, my soul, when I'm hungry, I never have to worry about food. When I'm thirsty, I never have to worry about watering him giving me thirst of my soul. Hey, when I've got an enemy around me, I do not have to turn to everything in the world. I turn to God.
Amen.
Amen. When I am sick, I turn to God. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Leave that preacher. Don't do anything with medicine. No. You talk to God, though. Amen? You confront God because He is the shepherd. He is in every area of your life. And at the end of this life, you're spending eternity with Him. Even in the darkest times of your life. And let me tell you this, friend. You are going to go through some dark, dark times. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are going to walk through it. And you're either going to walk through it alone, or you're going to walk through it with the shepherd who is God. And let me tell you something. I'm just telling you this from the people that I've watched it. You don't want to walk alone. How important is Jesus to you? How important is Jesus to you this morning? Is He everything? Is He everything? If He's not everything, then He's not the Lord of your life. Amen? He's somebody you call for rescue, and that's not what He wants. He would love to rescue you. He would love to jump in and fight your enemies for you. But He also wants to be there when you're just having a good time. He also wants to be there when you're going out and everything's, your health's there, your mental's there, your financial's okay. He still wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants you to ride down the road when you're doing, when everything's going well. He wants you to ride down the road every once in a while and stick your little paw up in the air and say, "Man, God, you are good. You are good." Wouldn't it be cool, God, to hear you say that and say, "Was there something wrong?" No. Everything's good. Amen? Everybody, your father, your mother, everybody loves a phone call from their child when there ain't nothing going on but good. They'll respond when you call when something bad's going on, and they'll do everything they can to help you. Amen? But ain't it sweet? Some of you mothers better help me out. Ain't it sweet when one of your children just come up and say, "Mama, I love you. You're the best." Amen? "Hey, Dad, I love you." That don't happen a whole lot, but do you understand what I'm saying? What do you think God would do? He's God, right? He's the God of the universe. He's in control of everything you do. Wouldn't it be good when you're up on the mountaintop, instead of glorifying the world, instead of, you know, giving everything you have to this world, wouldn't it be cool if you just said, "Man, I'm doing good because God has allowed me to do good for a while." I run into a lot of people who say, "Man, it seems like I'm always in trouble." I said, "Man, you seem to praise God more when you're in trouble. Seems like you talk to Him more when you're in trouble. Wouldn't it be good if you could praise Him when you're full? Wouldn't it be good if you're just thankful for being at His table because you knew where you came from?" Can I just say one more thing about Mephibosheth? David said, "You're going to eat at my table continuously." You know what I like about the table? When you sit down and somebody slides you in, we're all equal. You can't see how lame everybody is at God's table. Amen? Mephibosheth sitting at the table. He's sitting right next to all the great warriors and all the great men. "Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, how are you? Good, good, good. I'm just glad to be here. Well, I'm a warrior. I've killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I slayed 300 men with a kid. What'd you do? Well, I was down in Lodabar. Nothing good was going on in my life. I was miserable. I was one of Jonathan's sons, one of Saul's kids, grandkids, and my dad and my mom and everybody, they ruined everything and they spoiled everything and I don't know why. I don't know about you, but all you guys look good. You guys look like warriors. You guys got it together. You got all your stuff together. I'm glad y'all are here. But the only reason I'm here is because God had mercy on a man like me who was lame. And I don't know why I get to sit here. But I am. I tell that people all the time, "Well, who do you think you are?" I don't know who I am. But I do know who God is. And I'm in, and you can get over it. Well, you don't act like that. You're doggone right I don't. I'm not an actor. I'm not an actor. I'm not going to act for nobody. Amen? And you shouldn't either. God didn't save you. He didn't change you for you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. He wants you to be your own individual Mephibosheth. With all your scars and all your lameness and all your crazy and all your background, He wants you to be able to stand there and say, "Despite all that, God loved me." Amen. And if you don't love me, that's okay, but you should. Amen? You should. Let's all stand as we come get a song of invitation. Let me ask you this one question before we leave, and I promise we got the time if you would allow it. I'm going to do it this way. Will y'all just play softly, just real softly? I'm going to read this. And if God ain't this to you this morning, I want you to come up here and ask Him to be the Lord and the Shepherd of your life. If He's not all this stuff to you, okay? I'm going to read this. And you just listen as I'm reading. They're going to play softly. Just play real softly. At any time, you feel like coming and praying, come and pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you have want in your heart? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He feeds my soul. Is your soul hungry? Are you still trying to cram everything into your life? He leadeth me beside still waters. Are you dried up? Are you bitter? Are you angry? You got a lot of hurt in your life? Well, he can send in the water, the living water, that you are not like that anymore. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is an important question. Is God taking you places? Is He leading your life? Because a shepherd leads. Has there ever been a time in your life where you looked up and God was leading your life and it was no longer you? It was no longer you making the calls. It's no longer you making the decisions. It's the shepherd showing you where to go. If not, this time's for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The reason they read this at funerals a lot is because one day, everybody in this room, you will pass away. And you'll stand before a living God. And He'll either know you because He is known of His sheep and His sheep know Him. Or He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. So one day you'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know Him? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God takes care of His people. Is He taking care of you? Is He meeting any of the needs in your life? If not, you need to ask Him to. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what salvation is? Salvation is this. Let me tell you. Salvation starting off, it's you're getting ready to die. Do you know that? The minute you say, Lord, save me, you're ready to die. Yet at the same time, you're ready to live. Your life begins. Your life begins at salvation. Amen. It's the neatest thing. You can have an expected end. An expected end. That means God is promising right here that guess what? He will have an eternal place for you if you ask Him to. But without Him being your shepherd and Lord, you will be eternally separated from Him. I'm asking you this morning, is Jesus everything to you? Is He everything to you? Is He your food, your water, your health, your defense, your strength, and your eternal salvation? If not, come pray. Come pray. There's already people in this altar, maybe some crying out for Christ, maybe crying out for the shepherd. Maybe you should come and try it. Is He everything to you this morning? Is He everything to you this morning?